Abel's acceptable offering. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4. And we may also quote Hebrews 11 and verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. The testimony of Abel is all important. It is the first proof of God's declared acceptance because of Abel's trust in the blood sacrifice which pointed to the cross of Christ. The heart and substance of the gospel lies in Abel's brief life, brief because he was slain while still a young and single man. Now let us look first of all at the two offerers. Both Cain and Abel offered a sacrifice to God. We are told that in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Genesis 4, 3 and 4. John the Apostle tells us, Cain was of that wicked one, and that his own works were evil. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12. He was elder brother to Abel in the first human family, and no doubt received the same instruction from parents who had been clothed by the sacrifice of innocent blood and another's righteousness. Cain came to God. He did not scornfully ridicule the existence of God. He too built an altar, prepared an offering, and bowed the knee, as Abel did. But the all-seeing eye of God discerned a difference. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Cain's coming before God seemed to be good. The appearance had the mark of godliness. He seemed neither deficient in sincerity nor devotion. Had it been otherwise, he would not have been wroth, so that his countenance fell. His deficiency lay in his lack of faith. He was a self-righteous worshipper. And when God stripped the disguise away, it was plainly seen that he was of that wicked one. God had ordained the way of salvation and made it clear to Adam and Eve. But Cain thought he could come in another way, perhaps more suitable to the dignity of man. He put his own reason against the counsel of God and turned away from God's revealed will to make his own approach to God on his own terms. We see then that the wickedness of the human heart does not always show itself in refusal to worship God. Neither does it prove we are acceptable in our worship because we draw nigh with sincerity and devotion. Unless we come with faith in God's appointed way, the Lord will not accept us. But this is the delusion of many. Both faith and unbelief implied previous instruction. But while Abel reverently believed what he was taught, Cain presumptuously refused it. The coats of skin worn by their parents were a daily instruction and witness in how sinners were saved and reckoned righteous. Cain, however, felt neither the consciousness of sin nor the need of pardon. He left his sin offering at the door, a rejection of Christ of whom it was a type. He trampled on God's truth and knew nothing of his own wretchedness and need. He brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, which acknowledged indeed a Creator's kindness, but implied neither confession of his sinfulness nor recognition of a Savior's love. Cain was rejected because his offering was not according to God's laid out law of approach through the sacrifice of another. He had no regard to the Messiah and to his sacrifice, and he was without any view to the glory of God. And being rejected, his countenance fell. He looked dejected and cast his eyes down to earth, churlish, morose, sullen, full of malice and revenge, full of rage and fury, and of shame and confusion. Abel, on the other hand, realized he was a man who had sinned and who looked for acceptance through the provision of God's mercy. Acting on this daily belief, on this godly belief, he came with purpose of heart to consecrate himself to the Lord and his glory. He therefore brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Abel was a shepherd. His flock consisted of sheep. In bringing the firstlings of his flock, he brought lambs for sacrifice. These he presented as an offering to the Lord, a proper type of Christ, who was God's appointed lamb, which was to take away the sin of the world, a lamb without spot and blemish, fitly signified by one for his innocence, harmlessness, and meekness. And he brought the fat thereof, which may signify the richest part, which afterwards in Leviticus 3:16 God claimed for his own. The fat signified may have signified too, the fattest of the flock, the best he had, the fattest and the plumpest, the lambs most free from blemish and defect, not torn or lame or sick, but which was perfect and without spot, because God is to be served only with the best. And the Lord had respect to Abel. It was an offering which pointed forward to God's promise of the coming Redeemer, who would be God's Lamb of sacrifice. Abel's faith rested in this hope. It was an act of self-renunciation, and he found the grace that he was seeking. And so the Lord had respect to Abel and to his offering. Why? Because this is what God had designed to use at a future time for sacrifice, and which was a suitable type and emblem of Messiah, through whose sacrifice sin alone is atoned and satisfied for. Hebrews 4:11-4. God looked at Abel's sacrifice with a smiling countenance. He took expressed delight, well-pleasedness, and satisfaction in it. Examine again Abel's more excellent sacrifice. Abel's offering is spoken of as a more excellent sacrifice. With such an offering, he obtained witness that he was righteous. We have every reason to suppose, as it was in after times, as in Leviticus 9:24, and in the case of Solomon and Elijah, that fire from heaven came down and consumed the sacrifice. By such a means did God in ancient days testify to his acceptance of an offering. Abel obtained witness that he was righteous. We speak of self-righteousness, but in truth there is no such thing. Without Christ, man has no righteousness at all. The first element in obtaining righteousness is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not the act of our faith which is our righteousness, for even that would be a work of man. But this faith is the gift of God and rests wholly on the sacrifice of the Savior. May we see our dearest Lord as the most excellent sacrifice. It is this alone, he alone, which brings peace to our conscience. It is said that he being dead yet speaketh. Let us then hear the voice of Abel and rejoice in our Lord Jesus Christ as the more excellent sacrifice. Listen to the words of Mr. Samuel Medley. Oh, could we speak the matchless worth? Oh, could we sound the glories forth which in the Saviour shine? To God and Christ what praise we'd bring, the song which soon in heaven will ring, extolling grace divine, extolling grace divine. We'd sing the precious blood he spilt, our ransom from the dreadful guilt, from sin and wrath divine. We'd sing his glorious righteousness, in which all perfect heavenly dress our souls shall ever shine, our souls shall ever shine. We'd sing that the characters he bears and all the forms of love he wears exalted on the throne. In loftiest songs of sweetest praise we would through everlasting days make all his glories known, make all his glories known. Soon that delightful day will come when our dear Lord will bring us home and we shall see his face. Then with our Saviour, Lord and Friend, a blessed eternity we'll spend, triumphant in his grace, triumphant in his grace. Amen and amen.